This podcast is sponsored by Personalize This. For all your personalized printing needs, go to www.personalizethis.org.
Order! Order! Please be seated for Pancast Movie Court.
Ahoy hoy, and welcome. It seems like an eternity ago that we did this, but welcome to Movie Court. It's the only podcast where you are the jury. I'm in court session number one with Neil. Hello, Neil.
Good day, Your Honour.
And how are you?
Very well, Your Honour.
Good. And live from Skype, we have... That's not a place. That is just a thing.
The island of Skype.
The island of Skype. We have Mr. Stuart Grant, QC. How are you, Stuart?
Evening, my lord.
My lord.
That sounded like something from a dad's army.
Rumpel
of the Bailey. Yes, it's been a while, and it's very apt that Stu was with us, because Stu was with us on the last movie court that we did.
He was.
I've forgotten the name of the movie.
Brain Slasher.
That's right. So, Stu, first of all, how did you think that one went?
Well, I don't think I was as prepared as I could be, which is a issue that I have resolved this time around.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Neil, did you feel quite confident in regards to the Brain Slasher?
For the last one, yes. A lot more confident.
Yeah. Brain Slasher was one of those movies that, I mean, I'd never seen before we did the movie call.
No, and we had a trial. What was it? Evidence was presented on the screen a few days before we did it, wasn't it?
It was, and it's the only Movie Court podcast that has actually been endorsed by the star of the movie.
So exactly.
We did get a retweet from Mr. Campbell himself. So without further ado, so I can let you all know, this was the verdict for Brain Slasher.
Guilty.
Unfortunately, Stu, it was guilty.
My track record is starting to look quite poor, isn't it, really?
I do feel, though, that you've sort of given yourself a bit more of a safer bet in regards to this case, do you not feel?
I would almost bank my entire life on winning this one.
Right, okay. Okay, Neil.
I was just going to say about the last one as well. It did take the jury a long time to come to a conclusion, didn't it? Or was that our fault?
No, to be fair, I think it was a little bit like the OJ case.
Right, it was just dragged on and on.
Yeah, it was
and
just
on.
Very contentious. I mean, the lawyers, I think, made a fortune on that Brain Slasher case. Whereas opposed to this one, I'll be surprised if it lasts half an hour. But then I said that when it came to the Battle Royale with... Luke and Superman, whoever it was.
That's, I mean, I've got my note.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Notes. That's fair enough. We should say the roles have been reversed a little bit. Normally, Neil is prosecuting, and the guest is defending. This time around, we thought we'd make it fun, and we let Stu choose what movie. And so Neil has to defend this movie. So, Stu, as the prosecution, would you like to tell the members of the gallery? The public gallery, what movie we are putting through movie court today?
Today, Your Honour, I am looking to prosecute Transformers 4: Age of Extinction.
Right, can we have silence in the court, please? As it's getting a little bit rowdy now because Stu has just said Transformers 4: Age of Extinction. Now, I think we should, yes, for opening arguments, Stu, would you like to fire away? So for the prosecution, please, Mr. Stuart Grant, QC.
Everyone of a certain age, children of the 80s, will recall living through somewhat of a golden period of children's cartoons. Shows such as Thundercats, Jason the Wheeled Warriors, and Chawton and the Wheelies. They give us all a warm glow whenever we remember their sheer awesomeness. Hollywood has done its best over the years to urinate all over our cherished memories with frankly god-awful movies based on some of these shows. The biggest offender, however, when it comes to the destruction of that which we hold dear, is Michael Bay and the abomination that is his Transformers franchise. It has been 8 years since Bay first insulted our intelligence and dulled our senses with the first Transformers film. And since then, we've been subjected to an ever-increasingly frustrating, confusing, and downright insulting series of set pieces that are loosely held together by a supposed plot. And I use that term loosely. Each film has been frankly worse than the last, which of course brings us to the latest and worst of the lot, which is Age of Extinction. A movie that is so bad it almost defies words, though I will endeavour to do my best to vocalise my feelings during this trial.
Thank you very much, Stu. I must say, before we go to the case for the defence, I've just looked over at the Clark Kent of the court, and of course he's got to give us his summary. So this is Clark Kent of the court for Transformers.
These are the facts of the case for Transformers Age of Extinction. Released in 2014, it was written by Erin Kruger and directed by Michael Bay. Starred Mark Wahlberg, Nicola Peltz, Jack Raynor, Stanley Tucci, Kelsey Grammer. With a budget of $210 million, it took at the box office $1.104 billion worldwide and is at the moment the 12th most successful movie of all time. According to filmmakers, 90% of Mark Wahlberg's stunts were done by the actor himself. Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson was offered Wahlberg's role, but declined due to the filming of Hercules. For the first time, Optimus Prime speaks in his native Cybertron. 70 minutes of the movie is dedicated to action sequences, and it's the first live-action Transformers film not to feature Shia LaBeouf or any storyline about the Witwicky family. These are the facts of the case that I present to the court.
Thank you very much, Clark Kent of the court. I'm completely missed him. It shows how long it is since we've last done this.
I know, he was waving at us.
I know, apologies, Clark Kent of the court. Now, for the defence, it's Neil QC.
Thank you very much, your honour. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Strong words indeed from the prosecutor. Strong words indeed.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Strong words indeed. Let me just say, let's open with this. You may all think straight away that this is a guilty film. You may think it's not a guilty film, but there's no right or wrong answer here at the moment. We must envisage that what one man's poison is another man's medicine. You may hate it, sir. You may love it. But what I wanted to just say, let's think about this. Age of Extinction is the fourth installment of the franchise, directed by our friend Michael Bay, starring Mark Wahlberg, Kelsey Grammer, and Stanley Tucci as the Clerk of the Court said. And we mustn't forget that it had the largest opening of the series, but it also featured the fan favourites of the Dinobots. So hopefully, jury, ladies and gentlemen, you will listen and see that this movie really isn't that bad, but just a guilty pleasure.
Thank you very much for the defence. We'll start, Stu. We'll get straight into the cross-examination. So have you got any questions for Neil of the defence?
Well, the first thing I would like to ask the defence is what his opinion is of the, frankly, dire dialogue that we have to endure during this film.
Have you got any exhibits to bring to the table?
There will be some exhibits. I do have some evidence that I will be playing over the next, showing over the next few minutes.
I will say that the script serves its purpose. The dialogue, yes, while might not be strong, but there's a lot of action films that we all do and love out there that we don't like the dialogue. And I wouldn't say it's supposed to be a dialogue-heavy film. It's an action film. It's all about the action. It's about seeing your big Autobots fight the Decepticons and seeing, as I said previous, the Dinobots, which I'll get to later on. I mean, it's about the action, sir, not about the dialogue.
Well, I'm just going to step in here. I don't want to do Stu's job for him, and I don't want to ever put out that you don't know how to do your job,
right,
Neil? But to mention the Dinobots, where they were all through the trailers and everything looked fantastic, you thought, oh my god, this is going to be awesome. For them to basically just be a mode of transport to get Optimus Prime to the main, that was it. That was what they were there for. And then they just trundled off at the end. What was the point?
Sounds like you are doing somebody's job to me.
I apologise, Stu, for treading on your toes there, but...
Oh, you wanted to cross-examine me as well?
I'm asking, as I can see, all the people in the jury are just...
I would say the Dinobots are just a means of bringing them into the film because the fans wanted to see them. And I think it wasn't the money shot that everybody was expecting, but I think it was a tease.
Right, okay.
It was something they wanted to show a bit of before they bring more in.
Okay. So, Neil, would you like to counter a question for Stu?
Yes. I was going to say, the way I was going to defend this and bring it to you was, a lot of people have brought to attention the 165-minute length running time, which is nearly 3 hours. You said about the dialogue, the clunky dialogue and the restricted performances and a bit of plot dementia, but we do have to admire the gliding camera work of Amir Mokhriz and his unquenchable thirst to declare an all-out war on the video gamers. And that, sir, has got to be a positive, has it not? To make it the biggest and dumbest action movie we've ever had.
Well, if Michael Bay's intention was to make the dumbest movie ever made, then he has certainly succeeded, for this is even dumber than The Human Centipede 3.
Have you seen that? Oh, sorry, I digress.
I've seen clips of it, and it's not really worth watching. If I may just go back to the dialogue for a moment... you asked if I had some examples, and I have a couple here, which I would like to add as part of the prosecution's case, if I may.
Okay.
We have, for instance, when the agents of whatever agency it is knock on the farm door and they ask to speak to Mr. Wahlberg, he says to them something along the lines of, "Do you have a warrant?" To which the reply is, "My face is my warrant."
Right, if I can stop you there, Stu, I will actually play that clip for you as evidence number A.
Number A,
as evidence piece A, okay? So if you just bear with me, Stu, this is the clip that Stu is talking about.
Mr. Yeager, my name's James Savoy. I'm a federal agent. My men and I are trying to track down an abandoned truck.
That the truck you mean?
Afraid not.
Search the property!
What do you mean, search the property? You don't have a warrant.
My face is my warrant.
There you go.
What's wrong with that? He's the bad guy. I'm going to come straight in.
It's not even just the line, it's the way it's delivered. My face is my warrant. It's almost like he's trying to be Maximus from Gladiator.
Yeah. He might well have tried to be, but I just think it was a classic bad guy line.
Sorry, may I give you another line?
Yes, do.
When they are driving away from the farm and they are being chased by the government agents and all the rest of it, if you remember rightly, they're sort of all clamouring over each other in the car and one's trying to drive and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
To which the boyfriend turns to the girlfriend and utters the line, "Grab my stick."
Right. I'm not going to try and defend some of the sexism in the movie and some of the camera shots. I'm not going to go down that alley. But by which case, that's not to say that it's a guilty film. I will just say that.
And finally, for quotes from the film, and I've written this down, and it was quite a while ago that I watched it for the purposes of this trial, and I can't even tell you where this appears in the film now. The line is, "I'm like a fat ballerina."
But who hasn't used that line?
But that could have been trying to a comedic effect. That's what I think that line was for.
You want to talk about comedic effect? Shall we discuss the fact that the comic relief is killed off as soon as the heroic boyfriend shows up?
That's T.J. Miller, isn't it?
Yeah.
An actor who is far better than this film.
Yeah, because I have to say, I thought he played exactly the same role that he plays in Cloverfield. It was almost exactly the same.
Yeah,
oafish friend and had the same, spoilers, had the same comeuppance.
Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like I'm siding with Neil now, which is not the case at all.
No, you're just repeating.
Okay, do you have another question for Stu before we go on to the main bulk of evidence?
I will just one other question is, let me just say, Transformers 4 lacks James Cameron's sort of edge of the seat tension, right? But, I mean, positives we have to think about this, that you can see clearly in this version of the film, you can see the Transformers fighting and who they're fighting. Whereas before, it was just a mashup and you didn't have a clue who was spinning through where. But they, to me, they addressed that issue on this film.
Okay.
Do you, which is, Jude, which is a
like,
strong
would
positive.
You like to come back with the answer of how did they do that?
I'm surprised, actually, that you say that, because when I think back to the film, I can't actually tell you who was on whose side and what Lockdown was actually trying to achieve.
I heartily agree. When I was watching clips of it in preparation for this...
You shouldn't be agreeing with anything.
No, I know. I'm supposed to be impartial. But I was still at the point where Optimus was cutting through a lot of the Decepticons. Is that what we're talking about? I still didn't know who it was. Is that a goodie? Is that a baddie? I don't quite know.
Well, just saying what I saw, compared to the other films, I think you could tell a lot more.
But that isn't that just comparing a fresh dog turd to an old one?
Possibly, but some people find a lot more joy out of playing with a white dog turd thinking it's a stone than they do with a fresh one.
Order, please. Come on, I'll hold you both in contempt for bringing dog poo into the movie court. Let's move on.
And another thing that in its favour, I mean, we had a classic British mini in it. That's in its favour.
Well, that's yeah. I mean, you know, that should be exonerated from all blame just because it's got a British mini in it.
Yeah, to me.
Using that logic, you could say any film that has had a British mini in it is good because of that.
So I'm not just saying it's good. I'm saying it's a positive. I'm not saying it's making the film good. I'm just saying it was a positive in this.
So, I'm going to put this question out to both of you in regards to performances in the movie. Who would you class as the best performance of the movie, and who would you class as the worst performance in the movie? Stu, we'll go to you first.
The best performance in the movie. Now you're asking. Best performance would probably be the what was it? You said his name was again TJ
Miller.
TJ Miller.
I will give him the best performance of the movie purely because he has the luck to get out of it as soon as possible.
Okay. And the worst, or is it just a tie?
The worst would be probably Mark Wahlberg, because frankly, he can do better.
Okay. Neil?
I'll say Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci. Just because I always find him watchable anyway. I just think he's one of those actors that got great screen charisma and very watchable. Worst would be... I'd probably agree with Mark Wahlberg.
Mm.
You know, just like he was out of sorts in this movie.
I would have to say, I mean, I thought Stanley Tucci was the only saving grace in the whole movie, mainly because he hams it up so much that you know that his tongue is firmly planted in his cheek. He's not taking it seriously
absolutely
at all, as you'll find out with some of these clips. But everyone else obviously seems to be playing it. And it's the same, the Bayisms of the whole thing. It's just, that's the bits that make me angry, and the length of it for me. And that's me being impartial.
Right.
just to let you know. Right, Stu, if you can just bear with us for a second, we're going to play some clips. The first one I've got now, I can't remember what the John Goodman character was. He was the Transformer with the big beard chomping on the big moustache. Chomping on the big cigar.
Can I just ask, what in the hell is that all about?
Exactly.
Transformer with a cigar.
Exactly, which he then used as a weapon. He spat it out into someone's face, into a Decepticon's face, and blew him up. because he never had any weapons left. But he kept coming up with all of these different kind of quips while he was attacking. So let's just play this one.
Behind me, I'm covering you. If I stop covering you, it means I'm dead. But that ain't gonna happen. I'm a wicked warrior robot.
See, what's wrong with that? That's pure quips. That's what you want in an action movie. That's what you want from your... When you're that 14-year-old boy or 12-year-old boy watching Transformers and getting excited because the robots are fighting and it's got the quips, you'll find that funny.
Yeah, but with James Bond, it's a quip like after every kill.
Mm.
This was like a quip every 10 seconds. And after a minute of that, you think, please, just shut the...
Yeah, but then he's an Autobot. He's on autopilot and auto voice.
If you like. What did you think, Stu, when it came to John Goodman's vocal performance?
I would have to disagree slightly, to be honest with you. I don't think that you would go into Transformers looking for quips. Now, if you were going into an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, for instance, you would expect quips. But I think if you're going into Transformers, children aren't going to be looking for quips anyway, and people of our generation are going to be looking for a big screen version of the cartoon, which, as far as I can remember, had no quips anywhere.
No, but what I meant was, obviously, children probably or shouldn't really know that many Arnold Schwarzenegger films because they're more adult-orientated. But what I meant was that children will like the quips. They will find them funny. Not just saying children, maybe some adults will find them funny. You know, generic. But that's the sort of thing from an action film they're not looking for, but they appreciate when they happen.
Mm. Okay. I've got a couple of Stanley Tucci or Tanley Stucci,
Tanley Stucci
clips. This is the first one.
Like a tactical nuke. LOL.
I feel like this is really happening. So a man, me, who's worth over $20 billion, is now being chased by CIA assassins. That's the truth. And in the middle of a robot uprising. And I'm carrying what is, in essence, a tactical nuke. The great thing is that I'm barely feeling any jet lag.
No, stop it.
See, what's wrong with that? That's Stanley Tucci. That's his performance. Well, that's he's perfectly hamming it up and having fun.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that I noticed about the movie, and whether you noticed, Stu, as well, was the blatant product placement. Especially, now I've got the clip afterwards, after they've had this gratuitous shot of all the Bud Lights that are on the floor, and Mark Wahlberg even grabs one, cracks off the top and takes a drink. This is the clip for that particular moment.
Okay, sir. You better have insurance. Insurance? It's a freaking spaceship. You go get insurance on a freaking spaceship. Good luck with that, buddy. It's your car? Huh? Sweetie, hand me my alien gun.
Sweetie, hand me my alien gun. What is wrong with that dialogue? Arthur Miller would have been proud of that.
I would ask you, what is right with that dialogue?
It's fitting for the action movie. Like I said, Arthur Miller would have been proud of that. David Mamet couldn't write much better.
Even David Beckham would be ashamed of that.
Okay, this one I've called Life in Your Hands.
I can't believe I'm putting my life in your hands.
Here, be my guest. Take the gun. Go ahead, take it.
No, I don't want the gun.
You can leave.
No, I don't want the gun.
Then stay under there and shut up.
All right.
You're good with the gun. You keep it.
See, I have to admit, the bits that Stanley Tucci were in, when I first saw it at the cinema, some of the bits, and I thought, this is ridiculous. But when you look back, it's a fantastic comedic performance.
Mm, there's nothing wrong with that. Timing's perfect.
But the trouble is, there's no humour in the rest of the movie. He's in a completely different movie to everybody else.
Hey, he's having fun, and that's what that sort of movie should be all about.
Okay. Then, of course, we've got Optimus. This is one of his rousing speeches.
You defend my family. Or die.
There you go.
What's wrong with that? That's like Braveheart with robots.
Defend my family or die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inspiration.
Absolutely inspirational.
He tells you what he means.
Is that the clip from the end of the film before he flies off?
That's the film when he's... It's the clip in the film... It's the part of the film when he's about to mount the dinosaur.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
And what a moment that was.
Yeah.
I thought Optimus Prime was one of the worst characters in this entire film.
I did. And what I couldn't understand, again, I don't want to take sides, what I couldn't understand is he needed the Dinobots, whatever they're called, to get to the city centre as quickly as he could, yet at the very end he flies off. So why couldn't he have flown to the city centre?
His battery's
recharged. He needed to find Grimlock so that he could turn Grimlock into his bitch.
All right, can you just tell me who's Grimlock?
That's the supposed leader of Dinobots, although, like you said, he's basically just there to be Optimus Prime's ride.
Right, okay. Thank you very much for that, Stu. Thank you for the prosecution there. I've got one more Stanley Tucci bit.
Oh, this is the perfect place to hide. A big glass box. Nobody will ever find us here.
Just losing his S there. That's it for clips. So as we're coming to the end of this court session, I think, unless you've got any more questions for each other.
I haven't really.
Stuart, for the prosecution.
I would like to ask, because it's not really a question, it's more an observation. Does the defence agree that in not just this film, but across the franchise, but it is a problem, particularly in this film, that it doesn't matter who the big bad is or how big or how bad or how aggressive or violent they are, and it doesn't matter how badly Optimus Prime is beaten, he always wins.
But that's, I would imagine, is because he's the hero, all said and done. The heroes will always come through, no matter how badly beaten on death's door. Some of your heroes, if we go back, even die and are resurrected and still carry on.
Well, didn't Optimus Prime die in one of the previous movies and then he came back?
Possibly.
I don't
know. I've blanked it out of my mind.
Yes, but, I'm the same student.
But I know that James Bond in the movies died and was brought back. The Pierce Brosnan one.
Oh, goodness me.
Crikey. Somebody getting excited in the jury. No phones, please.
Yes. You're
putting the prosecution off.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Can I point out the defence seems very confused on their stance?
Yeah, yes, I'm sorry. It's because I'm usually the prosecutor. That's all. That's the only reason. But I'm happily defending this film.
And can I also throw another word at you?
Yes.
Transformium.
It's the metal, isn't it?
Homemade Transformers. Defend.
Right. Is that the stuff that Stanley Tucci found, wasn't it? Or was making?
Yeah. A Transformium is the stuff that the homemade or the earth-made Transformers are made out of.
Right.
So you've got, like, they melt, don't they? Sort of become pixelated and then can float down the road and then reform and everything.
If I ask the prosecution, what exactly is wrong with the Transformium?
Do you not feel that it completely takes away from the entire premise of a Transformer?
Or you could also counter-argue that and say it adds a new dimension to it.
Plus, it all leads back around, once again, to Megatron.
Well, Megatron, the big baddie. I mean, we have, again, I don't want to keep referencing other films, but we know full well that baddies will always come back and make an appearance, and he is his ultimate foe, isn't he?
But would you watch 4 Spider-Man films if they all had the Green Goblin as the villain?
But possibly, if they were well done, absolutely.
Right then, gentlemen, please. Before things get out of hand here, we need now your final sum ups, please. I think we will kick off with Neil for the defence.
Right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I assume that you still think this movie is guilty. But take the movie for what it is. A loud action no-brainer, then surely you could ask for more. And judging by the receipts at the box office, someone, or rather a lot of somebodies, are enjoying this movie. And I say, why aren't you? So I ask you all to reevaluate this movie So I ask you all to reevaluate a movie that is made for people who love the Transformers or wanted to see the Transformers and the Dinobots and have nearly 3 hours of robot carnage. And please vote this film not guilty.
Well, that was said with a lot of feeling. I didn't realise quite what a good actor you are, Neil. Thank you very much for the defence there. So for the prosecution, Stu, would you like to give your final closing statement?
It matters not whether you are a casual moviegoer who pays their hard-earned cash for the summer blockbusters, or like me, you're a self-confessed geek who combs through the plot of the self-same films looking for hidden gems or gaping holes in the logic of the story. We are all in the same boat when it comes to the travesty of celluloid that is the modern Michael Bay-directed abomination. There is nothing big or clever about Bay's work. An Age of Extinction is the celluloid equivalent of not realising that your pet cat has pooed in your shoe until you've pushed your foot all the way into the offending footwear. It feels dirty, stinks, and ruins the rest of your day. For the good of humanity and in the name of all that is decent, you have to find this film guilty.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Stu. Thank you, Neil. And now it's over to you, dear listeners and everybody in the movie court. It's up to you to give us your view on whether you agree with Stu that it should be guilty or whether you agree with Neil that it should be not guilty. You can email us at pancast@live.com. You can find us on Twitter at PancastPods. And you can also go to our website, www.pancast.co.uk, and leave a message on the comments board that's there. Please let us know whether you think Transformers Age of Extinction is guilty or not guilty. It just leaves me to say, Stu, if you'd like to let everybody know where they can find you on the old Tinternet.
You can find me on silentmovieman.wix.com/worldofstew, or check out my World of Stew page on Facebook.
Wonderful. And Neil?
Well, you can find Pancast at pancast.co.uk. You can find us on Facebook at Pancast Pods. You can tweet us at Pancast Pods, and you can pretty much email us at pancast@live.com with any questions.
That's right. And of course, as you are the jury, we need to know whether you think Transformers Age of Extinction is guilty or not guilty. So again, send us an email with either guilty or not guilty and your reasons for your choice to pancast@live.com, and also on Facebook, just search Pancast Pods, and just let us know what you think, and we will give you the verdict when we come back for another movie court. So until then, it's thank you, Stu.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everyone, and goodbye.
This podcast is sponsored by Personalize This. For all your personalized printing needs, go to www.personalizethis.org.